Today, I'd like to start with a straightforward question. Straightforward here. The Old Testament begins with, I hear it, creation. Right answer. The very words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on. This next question, it's not exactly a trick question, but it's a trickier question, okay? The New Testament begins with, I think I heard Jesus. Did I hear Jesus? Always the right answer, right? And I would say yes. That's how we think of the New Testament starting with Jesus. But really, in a sense, the New Testament, Matthew 1, 1 and on, begins with the Old Testament. Meaning we have the genealogy going back to Abraham through David on up to Jesus. We could also say, in a sense, that the New Testament era begins with John the Baptist, who's kind of the end of the Old Testament leading right up to Jesus and the New. So if you think back in the Exodus, before the Exodus, the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years before God sent Moses back to lead them out into freedom toward the promised land. Well, the Old Testament ends with the prophet Malachi. And after the prophecy in Malachi, we had 400 years, sometimes called the 400 years of silence. 400 years that there wasn't a prophet. There wasn't a word from the Lord until, you could say, John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel leading up to John. But 400 years. John the Baptist, even though we read about him in the New Testament, in a sense, he's the end of the Old Testament before the actual Messiah, Jesus. I want to read a few verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. First, verse 6 through 8 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." Going to jump to verse 19. "Now this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, 'I am not the Messiah.' They asked him, 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally, they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord.' Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' 'I baptize with water,' John replied, 'but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing." John the Baptist. First, who John the Baptist was not. So the priests and the Levites are sent to him. They're hearing and seeing what he's doing. And they ask him, we actually don't hear the question in John, but the first question is, "Are you the Messiah?" Now, why would they ask that? Well, again, they'd been waiting not only 400 years, but hundreds and hundreds of years for the prophesied Messiah. In particular, they were hoping, waiting for a political savior, someone who God would anoint who would sit on the throne of David and unite them as a people, and in their day, overthrow the Romans. But they're like, is it him? What he's doing, what he's saying, is this the Messiah? Now, John's answer, he simply says he does not fail to confess. It says, "But I am not the Messiah." In short, he just said, "No." He's a little ahead of his time in a sense that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no, period. Jesus said, any other words that come beyond that are actually from the evil one. Simply say yes or no, and that is exactly what John did. Now think of John the Baptist. He could have said, okay, no, I'm not. I'm not the Messiah, but I'm related to him. And I'm the prophesied forerunner to him. I mean, he could go on and on, but he did not do that. John the Baptist simply said, no, I'm not. Now, Elijah, the next question is, if you're not the Messiah, then are you Elijah? Now, why in the world would they ask John the Baptist if he is Elijah? Elijah was a prophet, of course. In the Old Testament, we read about him in 2 Kings. We're going back 800-some years before John's day. And they're saying, are you him who lived 800 years ago, Elijah the prophet? Now, why would they say that? A couple reasons. One, I mentioned Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. Here's how Malachi ends, again, 400 years before John the Baptist's day. Malachi 4, verse 5, the Lord says, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. But the end of Malachi, the Lord says, I will send the prophet Elijah. So they're saying, Is this the fulfillment of that prophecy? Is this Elijah? There's also another reason why they're wondering, because of John's own appearance. We read in the Gospel of Matthew that John the Baptist wore clothing made of camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. Now, he might not have been the only one in that day wearing that particular clothing, but with what he's doing, with what he's saying, and they see his appearance. Again, we go back to 2 Kings 1:8. A king, King Ahaziah, recognizes Elijah the prophet, not from seeing him, but hearing that here's a man coming wearing camel's hair and a leather belt on his waist. And he said, that is Elijah the Tishbite. They know by his appearance. And this is exactly how John appears. So they're saying that the prophecy of Malachi, his appearance, are you Elijah? And he said, no. Now, there's an asterisk in the outline in the bulletin by Elijah's name, because here's what Jesus said about John the Baptist in Matthew 11, verse 14. Jesus says, if you are willing to accept it, John the Baptist is the Elijah who was to come. Is he actually the same man, Elijah? Is it him? No, he's John the Baptist, but he fulfills that prophecy of Elijah coming. He is, in a sense, even though John says, no, I'm not actually Elijah. So a little more, we'll come back to that. The next question they say to John the Baptist is, are you then the prophet? In my NIV Bible, prophet is capitalized, and it's the prophet, not are you a prophet, because John was, but are you the prophet? And he said, no. Now they're referring back to a prophecy that Moses said about 1,400 years before John's day. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, Moses himself said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me. The words of God, a prophet like Moses, and you must listen to him. And they're hearing John the Baptist and saying, is he the prophet? Is he the one that Moses talked about? Again, they'd been waiting over 400 years for a word from the Lord through a prophet. But John again said, no, I am not the prophet of whom you speak. I'm going to go back again to Matthew 11. This is Jesus speaking about John the Baptist. A bunch of people came out to see John, to see and hear what he's doing. Matthew 11, verse 9, Jesus said, then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Again, Malachi, a prophecy about John the Baptist. Jesus goes on, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come." John the Baptist was not the Messiah, was not Elijah, even though he fulfilled that prophecy about Elijah. He was not the prophet. So then who was he? Who John the Baptist was? He was a miracle baby, first of all, going back to his birth and even before he was born. You know, I mentioned the New Testament begins in a sense with John the Baptist, depending on how you look at it. And if you go to Luke's gospel, Luke begins, "You know, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us as they were handed down to us from the first eyewitnesses." He goes on, and he doesn't mention Jesus yet. In Luke 1, verse 5, he says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but Zechariah and Elizabeth were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old." Now, this is the beginning of Luke's gospel. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He's in the temple burning incense. It's his time to do that. And the angel Gabriel shows up in the temple and says to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." This is about John. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." You hear that? Filled with the Holy Spirit before he's even born. "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah." Angel Gabriel is telling Zechariah also that John is going to fulfill that prophecy about Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is also well along in years." A miracle baby. Going to go to his call. Actually, I just mentioned his call before he was even conceived. I'm going to go to his prenatal visit with the Messiah. So still in Luke chapter 1, we have this narrative going back and forth between the birth of John foretold, the birth of Jesus foretold, and then the birth of John, the birth of Jesus, back and forth in Luke 1. But while John is in Elizabeth's womb and Jesus is in Mary's womb, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, that's John, leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting, Mary, reached my ears, the baby, John, in my womb, leaped for joy." Who is John? He's one who leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb before he was even born, when Jesus, in Mary's womb, entered the same room. Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Who John the Baptist was? What was his own answer? Not the Messiah, not Elijah, not the prophet. They said, well, then who are you? Give us an answer. John replied by quoting Isaiah chapter 40. It says, John replied in with the words of the prophet Isaiah, I am the voice of one calling or crying out in the wilderness. Prepare, make ready, make straight the path for the Lord. Think about this. I know some people talk about having a life verse. I kind of have life verses depending on what stage and area of life I'm in. But a particular verse of the Bible from God that speaks to you in a moment, speaks to you perhaps for your whole life. But here, John the Baptist literally had a verse that was about him. From 740 years earlier, imagine the Lord giving these words to Isaiah. These are about this man, John. And then also in Malachi. Can you imagine reading a verse and realizing, this is actually me. I mean, literally, my verse. When John says, I'm that voice. I'm the voice. Crying out in the wilderness. Now, some translations say desert. Some say wilderness. When I hear desert, I picture endless sand. Desert. When I hear wilderness, I picture kind of a forest, kind of the opposite. You know, a bunch of trees, wilderness, jungle even perhaps. So why do we get such an extreme? Well, the Hebrew word is midbar. Does mean usually it's translated desert. The Greek word is eremos, which means, has a few more words that help us out here. It means solitary or deserted. Desert, deserted, desolate, uncultivated, unpopulated. In short, the Hebrew word and the Greek word simply mean away from civilization. So whether that would be a literal desert or whether that would be the wilderness, it means you're away from the city, away from the populace, this unpopulated, uncultivated area. So they're both right. You're just away. Who was he? He was that voice crying out in the wilderness. And again, it's talking spiritually as well as literally, geographically, the wilderness of this world. Desolate, apart from God, our need for the Messiah. Who was John? Well, we know him, and I'm thankful for this in a sense. It defines John separately from John the Apostle. We get these names that show up more than once. We have John the Apostle, the disciple who wrote the Gospel of John and Revelation and the letters. And then we have this John designated as the Baptist or the Baptizer. And after he says he's not the Messiah, he's not Elijah, he's not the prophet, then the Pharisees who are there, they ask, well, if you're not any of them, why do you baptize? Why? Why does John baptize? I'm going to jump sideways a bit, and then we'll come back to that. But there's two baptisms in the New Testament that we read about, two distinct baptisms. So in Acts chapter 19, this is Paul in Ephesus. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Then he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's. John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Goes on. So John's baptism, as he himself said, I baptize with water for repentance to prepare a people for the one who's coming after me, who will baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 28, once again, the words in Elena's baptism that I shared from Jesus. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, at the end of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, said the people were cut to the heart. And they said, "Peter, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." John's baptism, adults coming and repenting and being baptized in the river with John. Jesus' baptism, it doesn't say an age. It says all. It says all whom the Lord our God will call. And Peter said, "This promise is for you and for your children." It's to be identified in the name of Jesus Christ as God's child in his family. John the Baptizer. Part 3 of the message today, overlighted. So at first I thought of the word overshadowed, because John himself, in John chapter 3, John the Baptist said at one point, he said, "He, Jesus, must become greater, and I must become less. I'm only here to point to him. He's to become greater, I'm to become less." I thought of John, his whole purpose was to be overshadowed. But shadow, you have the word shadow, has darkness in the word. So I made up a word. He's overlighted by the Messiah. When Jesus comes on the scene with him in his light, there is no shadow. There's no darkness in Jesus' light. Back to John chapter 1. John the apostle, the disciple, his gospel. John 1 verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. He," John the Baptist, "came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." Verse 29, still in John 1. "The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Verse 31, John says, "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." And then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one, the Messiah.'" The Messiah is here. We are also called to be witnesses to the light. We are not the light, but we are witnesses to the light. And as we witness to him, actually, it is his light that reflects upon us, that the world may see and know Jesus' light by seeing his children, his believers, his disciples reflecting his light to the world. So we are to walk in and by the light of Jesus each day, each night, each moment of our lives. A couple verses to share. Psalm 36, verse 9. Part of this verse, every now and then I just come back to this and reflect on it. Psalm 36, 9 has these words, "In your light we see light. In your light we see light." We don't even see God's light apart from God's light. And in order to see anything in and by his light, we need the light of his word and of Jesus Christ. In your light we see light, like you've never seen light before. And in 1 John 1, verse 7, it says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the light, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin." As we are walking in the light of Jesus, his blood, that light shines through us and purifies us, that we also shine purely and reflect his light. Witness to the light, walk in the light, and worship. When we see the light of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, we worship. He becomes greater, we become less, until we forget about ourselves completely and simply worship him. You know, everything John the Baptist did, his whole purpose, his whole mission, his whole life was all about, look, look at the light. Here he is, the Lamb of God, Jesus. Don't look at me. Look at him. Follow him. His purpose, his life. In short, he could have been just singing this song all the time in a way. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow less and less, will grow strangely dim in the light. Yes, look, the light. In the light of his glory and grace. One more time with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Heavenly Father, thank you that the people walking and living in darkness have seen, we have seen a great light, the light of the world, the light that transforms us and saves us eternally, Jesus, your Son. We thank you in his name. Amen.